The decision to do videography is something many couples struggle with until the last minute, and not doing videography is usually a couple's number one regret. Today, we're discussing why that is and the five red flags you need to be aware of when hiring a videographer, especially when it comes to aerial footage. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 22, and as always, every Wednesday, I'll be answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. So thank you so much for being here and spending some of your day with me, and I can guarantee that by the end of this week's show, you're going to walk away with a ton of knowledge to help you plan your wedding easier and more confidently because you'll know the right things to do. Now, today I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about videography. Now, before we get into the show, though, I want to share with you my wedding videography story because I'm sure many of you can relate to this. So we were one of those couples that were on the fence about videography really up until the last minute. And bless our photographer for trying his best to convince us and educate us on why we should do it. Now, we heard him, but at the same time, we were also hearing from all of our friends and family that had gotten married before us who said it was a total waste of money because they never watch it and the video just sits on their shelf. Now, since like some or maybe most of you listening to this right now, we were on a budget. We were paying for most of the wedding ourselves and also buying a house at the same time. So we scrapped videography. And our rationale at the time was that, well, that money could go towards something else for either our home or maybe our honeymoon. We didn't really see the value of it at the time. Now, we did want some video to capture the sounds of the day, but we really didn't want to invest in a proper cinematic video because everyone told us it would be a waste of money. So instead, we asked a family member to record the day on their camera. And it's a great video. I mean, it captured some really fun home movie type moments, and we're very incredibly thankful and happy that we have it. But here's the thing. Not only did we feel bad that we now put a family member to work to record our wedding, but that video didn't sit on our shelf. We actually watched that thing over and over and over again. We never thought we would. And every anniversary we watch it too. And actually now it's even more special than it was back then because some of our family members in that video are no longer with us. Now, regret about not having a properly done video set in pretty soon after our wedding because as we watched other friends get married and then share their highlight reels, and especially now, you know, with working in the wedding industry and seeing these amazing works of art so many videographers post with music and voiceovers and drone footage, I mean, it just sends chills down your arm because somehow they also captured the emotion of the day. And that kind of makes me regret. Well, I shouldn't say that word because I don't like regret, but it makes me sad and disappointed that we didn't listen to our photographer and that we let money, which always comes back, get in the way of preserving a moment that we'll never get back again. So today I have on the show a husband and wife couple who not only do amazing wedding photography, but they're also one of a few companies that actually does video as well. And their particular specialty is in drone footage and aerial footage. And, you know, aerial footage is so popular right now, but there are very specific rules you need to know about it if you want aerial footage in your wedding video. And these are rules that, if you don't do your research, can leave you with a hefty fine. And we'll be discussing all this in the show, so don't worry about that. Now, this duo, they pride themselves in not only providing you photos that are full of life, but a video you'll watch over and over again. And with their experience, they know exactly what moments to anticipate and what details to pay attention to. And they do this without you even knowing they're there. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Brendan and Lynette Romero of Pioneer Media. So hi, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, excited.
Now, we have worked together before in the past. We've done some blog posts on my website, and you guys are just chock full of information. And what makes you guys special is that you're videographers that also do photography, but what kind of sets you apart is that you also specialize in aerial footage. So you have a drone that you take to all your weddings, and you do drone footage, which I think is really, really cool and adds that sort of extra element to your final wedding video. So I'm really happy to have you here. I wanted to talk to you today because you came out with a list that you give away to couples at wedding expos that basically is... It's a list of 5 red flags that you should look out for when you're hiring a videographer. Now, one of the things that I find really interesting is couples, they always want photography. Like, photography is a must. But videography is usually one of those things that is sort of like, in the back of their head, they know, oh yeah, maybe I should do videography, but it's not as important as photography. But it always ends up being the biggest regret couples have. So my question is, you know, as somebody who's been in the business for as long as you guys have, why do you think videography is such a last minute decision? And why should videography really be as important as photography?
Well, I think you said a big part of it. You know, photography is definitely the priority. I mean, if you have to choose one over the other, you're always going to go to photography. And we've noticed that, you know, decades ago, videos were kind of difficult to watch. Wedding videos were long. They were on a VHS that just collected dust. And so a lot of couples kind of just pushed it aside thinking, you know, oh, I'm never going to watch it. Maybe their older family members told them you probably won't watch it. To be honest, it's an expense. It's an added expense. It's one more vendor. And so a lot of couples just don't even think about it until maybe it's a little too late.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, it's probably lack of education, because people base their decisions on what they know. And so when they think about wedding video, they're thinking about their parents or grandparents' wedding video. And so those videos, honestly, they're meant to just show whatever's going on. It's not structured. But nowadays, wedding videography, the whole purpose really is to entertain. It's meant to be a showpiece, a wow piece. Whereas, you know, people, when they think wedding video, they don't think that.
We're trying to change that, though.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember back in the day, too, like watching wedding videos from family members where, like, literally the videographer would just go around to every table and interview the guest and be like, oh, send a good wish to the new, you know, Mr. and Mrs. And you know, I thought, oh, that's really boring. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to watch that either. Yeah. You know, so, but now it's so different. Yeah. Yeah.
They already wrote their best wishes and their advice in their cards. You know, the whole purpose really is to entertain. It's really there's something different when you look at your best man or your father or your family, your maid of honor that day, hearing them speak to you about yourself and your spouse.
For the toasts, for the speeches, yeah. You know, the welcome speech that the parents do. Those are the moments that we use to drive that wedding video so that it it's super emotional, it's entertaining, makes you cry, makes you laugh.
Yeah. And so that's the reason why really it should be a priority. Yes, pictures, photos, they're a staple, but there are things that video can do that photos can't. Again, going back to that whole thought of hearing your father, hearing your family member, your best friend speak on that day, to be able to relive that moment, you could do it better, you could do it more effectively in a video than you can with photo.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, you know, as a couple watches this, you know, down the line, you know, if you have like grandma in that video and years down the line, you know, grandma's no longer with us, you always have that record of her speaking. You get to hear her voice. You know, a picture just captures an image, but a video captures so much more. So yeah, and I agree with you that it really comes down to like education, that, you know, now your wedding videos are really more like cinematic, you know, mini movies. You know, it's yeah. not just like a home recorded video. I mean, they're really spectacular pieces of artwork. So it really is something that couples should really consider doing. You know, and waiting to the last minute, if you decide to do that last minute, you know, okay, great. But then you're kind of, you might be limiting yourself because it is such a last minute decision. You might find it harder to find videographers who are available on your date. Maybe you might be spending more money. So it's really something that you need to think about right at the beginning, right when you're thinking about what photographer you want, you need to be thinking about videography as well.
And so much more so this, you know, next wedding season, 2021. And we have so many couples that are postponing from 2020, and to be able to have a Saturday free is like, it's, they're going to be far and few between. Is that how you say it? Few and far between? I don't know how to say it. Yeah. But
one in Rome.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, especially in 2021, it's going to be tough to find really great vendors last minute for sure.
So now I want to get into that list that I mentioned earlier, because like I said, this is a really fantastic list, because I feel like there's a lot of, I guess, material out there that says, you know, oh, these are questions you should be asking, but nobody really talks about red flags, because there's a lot of red flags that, you know, couples, for the most part, they're planning their wedding only once, and they may not be familiar with video or video production. So they may not even know the right questions or the right things to look out for. So this list is really fantastic. And the first thing that you mention is lack of wedding experience as being the first warning sign. Now, you make a very clear distinction here, because you say wedding experience and not just experience in general, but specifically wedding experience. So why is filming a wedding as opposed to just filming an event or any other sort of, you know, special occasion or situation such an important distinction here?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. That the first few that come to mind, first of all, is the timing, the timeline of the wedding, logistical things are moving very, very quickly. And a wedding videographer, as opposed to just a videographer, is going to be able to anticipate moments, critical moments, anticipate potential obstacles, and be able to have a solution for them, problems that are very unique to a wedding, and also the ability to shoot and to capture a moment very quickly, because things happen quickly. People are moving quickly. You may not have the ability to set up as much equipment as you would for a commercial shoot, or if you were just doing like a, you know, some other type of wedding or some other type of video. You really need to be able to move very quickly and anticipate moments. And wedding experience specifically is really priceless. I mean, being able to say that you've done at least a few dozen weddings under your belt and you know what to expect is going to be really important.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one thing to work in the commercial industry for video. Commercial industry, you have storyboards, you have a shot list, you have a plan of attack. All that stuff is prepared beforehand. And then the day of, you go in and you execute step one, step two, step three, step four. With weddings, you got one shot. So you have to nail it the first time. You prep as much as you can beforehand, of course, but hey, there's only one first dance. There's only one, the kiss at the end of the ceremony, that reception, the bride with her father walking down the aisle. There's only one of those. They have to be nailed. So yeah, I mean, and that was, you know, I learned video in the commercial world. And so when I had to come into the wedding before we started doing wedding videos, I just had to attend weddings and speak to people, find out what is the flow. so that when I get to the reception, hey, I know, you know, because of experience, I need to speak to the maitre d' to find out the timeline. I need to go to the DJ and use his lingo to understand if it's possible to plug in to record audio. I need to speak to the officiant beforehand about certain things. So all that kind of stuff, really, they are two separate animals.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that because it's kind of the same in the DJ world as well, too, because you could hire any DJ to do your wedding, but if the DJ doesn't have experience doing a wedding, it's going to be a very different experience because of what you say. There's a certain ebb and flow to weddings, and you have to be prepared to handle anything that comes up. You know, even though, like you said, you can prepare as much as you can beforehand, anything can happen. So a professional wedding videographer has to know what can happen and be prepared for that. So that's a really good point that you make.
Another big one in that, honestly, is staying out of the photographer's way. You know, commercial, you're the only one on set. You need to go where you need to go to get your shot. But in a wedding industry, you have to know, hey, this is the photographer's shot, or hey, I need to make sure I stay out of the photographer's way.
And we're shoulder to shoulder or yeah. Whatever the case.
We're supposed to be working together. I'm not supposed to be in front of them or leaving my tripod in the middle of the aisle in front of them. It's just, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, I never even thought about that. But yeah, you definitely don't want to get in the way of the photographer at all. Like you two really almost need to work, you know, symbiotically together and devise a plan so neither one of you are in each other's way. So I think that's a really great point. Now, the next thing that you mention is not having a second shooter, or if the videographer hires an unknown assistant for the day. So why would that be such a red flag or a deal breaker?
Well, the honest truth is that sometimes when you hire a videographer, and this can even apply to a DJ, you don't know who you're getting on the wedding day. And for us in particular, that's critical. For us, it's really important that once we're booked for wedding video, we don't take any of the wedding videos for that day. We personally want to be there at every wedding. Brendan is literally the lead shooter at every single one of our weddings, and he has a second shooter, which is usually me. But honestly, we think that's so important to, first of all, have two people just for the type of video that we're doing that involves so much audio and that is, you know, a very specific type of wedding video. Not this may not apply to everybody, but we think it's really important to have a conversation with your videographer about, first of all, who's going to be there? Who's your lead shooter? Who are they bringing? Are they going to do it by themselves? Because it's really hard. It's really hard. Some people are really good and they can do it. We've done it every once in a while for these micro weddings or elopements. It's a little easier, but shooting a whole wedding by yourself and getting ready for both bride and groom and setting up audio before the ceremony is really challenging to do for one person.
Yeah, there are so many facets that you have to keep in your head at the same time. Like when I mentioned, even something as simple as audio, you know, one person is setting up, my second shooter is setting up audio while I'm mounting, you know, setting up tripods and miking up the groom and stuff like that. So it's just so many things, and it makes two people, of course, make it easier, especially during like getting ready. We split up one with bride, one with groom. And of course the bride takes longer. And so I'm usually with the bride, and the second shooter goes and sets up the ceremony, you know, sets up the video cameras and plugs into audio and sets all that stuff up. So, but it's really a lot because, you know, the expectations for weddings are just so high.
Oh yeah.
And so you have to have the energy to meet that and to make sure that you nail everything the first time. Again, it's just important.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lynette, you bring up a good point about knowing who's going to be there. So, you know, if you speak to a videographer over the phone or at a wedding expo, one question that couples really need to ask is, are you going to be at my wedding or is it going to be somebody else?
Yeah, we understand that sometimes, you know, you hire a DJ that also offers videography and that could really work for some people, but we think it's really important that you ask who specifically, because from one videographer to the next, they're using different equipment. You could get a completely different looking, you know, different video than what you're expecting just because somebody else was there with a different camera. Definitely something you want to ask for sure.
And everybody has their own aesthetic and style. And if you're connecting with that person that you're speaking to, if they send somebody else, you may not have that same connection. So it's so important that you ask, you know, who's going to be at my wedding.
Yeah.
Now, the third thing you mentioned on your list is if a videographer promises you a video at a certain length, that should raise some red flags. Can you explain that a little bit and why that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's what really makes the video long, or what makes determines the length of the video, is really the audio. So what goes into a wedding audio-wise, you know, are the bride and groom reading a card beforehand when they're getting ready? How long is the ceremony? How many speeches are there going to be? How long are those speeches going to be? Without knowing those factors, it's hard to know how long the video is going to be. We've done weddings where there are no card reading, no speeches, and the ceremony was just over 4 minutes. If we were to promise a 30-minute video to the couple, what is there to show? What is
where would we get that? Where would we get that from?
It's just a music video of images set to music. So really, us personally, our style is we make the video as long as it is entertaining. Otherwise, what's really the point?
Mm-hmm. I think the key here is to definitely have that conversation. So if you want a music video, if you want a 4 or 5 minute video that's just set to music and really maybe not even any audio in it, just have that conversation. Talk about, are we going, how are we going to get a 45 minute video if there's just not enough content to drive it? So specifically, if you see them promising a very long wedding video, you definitely want to ask what that's going to be, because we've seen firsthand videographers just leave a camera in the corner of the dance floor and let it roll. And sure, they will physically be able to deliver you a 45 or an hour long video, but are you going to watch it? Is it going to be entertaining? Is it going to be beautiful, interesting? So that's just the conversation you have to have. And each videographer is going to be a little different, but you just want to have this, you want to talk about this with them and find out.
And it's a scenario that comes up every once in a while. Even recently, a couple of weeks ago, we heard from, there was a referral from a photographer, a couple, they got married. They didn't like their wedding video. You know, it was a 4 minute video and they had all the raw footage. So they contacted us that said, hey, you know, we wanted something longer. They went back to that videographer. They said, we want something longer. We want, you know, a 45, 60 minute video. And sure enough, for the reception, he had 3 tripods on the corners of the dance floor. He hit record beginning of those intros, the grand entrances and first dance, pair of dances. And he just put those clips in the timeline. There were 30 minute clips, 28 minute clips. He fulfilled his contract, but did they really enjoy it? Absolutely not.
Yeah. There's an art to it, you know, making sure like anybody could string pictures together and set it to music, but there's an art form to what a professional videographer does. And, you know, I think conversely too, like if a videographer promises, say, oh, you know what, I'm going to give you a 2 hour video or, you know, however long, but there's so much more content that the video could have been like a 4 hour video, you know, then I would think that they're probably editing out so much that you really want to have in there. So yeah, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, weddings, they could be as short or as long as the couple wants, and your video has to accommodate for that length.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing you talk about, and this one kind of made me chuckle a little bit, because before when I was talking about like all the videos from like, you know, the old videos from family members' weddings, all I keep picturing is this like videographer going around to the tables, like I said, but they have this big old light behind them shining in people's faces. And so this is why this made me chuckle, but you know, you need to ask the videographer if they're going to be using an on-camera light. And if they do, that should concern you. So can you explain that? Because like I said, all I picture in my head is this big old, you know, camera light right in your face. Yeah. So can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Have you ever been to a wedding where the videographer had on-camera light? It hurts. I've been there. You know, it's bright, it's obtrusive, it's distracting. And the picture is not very good. You know, what ends up happening is that the person that's right in front of the camera is completely blown out. They're bright white. And then everything behind them is pitch black. So, I mean, reception rooms are dark. So it doesn't look good. It's not flattering. And it also kind of hurts your eyes if you're, you know, at a wedding dancing. So you do need to add light though. And that's what we tell our couples, like we can't shoot in a dark reception room. There's nothing, you won't see anything. But we do add in some light usually set something up next to the DJ booth or, you know, the band, and we're able to just kind of a kiss of light on the dance floor, you know, just enough to define people. And so we can see their faces, and most people don't even know that it's our lights. We actually, ours are battery powered and remote control, so we can turn them on and off as we need to, but it just, it gives you the light that you need, but it doesn't distract and it doesn't hurt people's eyes, and it looks great.
Yeah.
We think it looks great anyway. Yeah.
Most people don't even know they exist.
Yeah.
Like I said, we just put them in the corners of the room, and it's just enough to give enough light on mm-hmm. the dance floor where you see the couple. Like Lena said, we're not trying to bother people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want anything to be a distraction. And I think that goes to really to like what you guys do too, like photographers and videographers, like you don't want to be in the way. Like you want to get what you need to get, but not be in the way. So yes, there is light, but it's not in anybody's way. So so if your videographer has on-camera lighting, maybe think about, you know, a different way to light the room. I know myself personally, like I can't even use those ring lights because just like looking at that, I mean, my eyes hurt so much just, you know, having them on my phone, I can't even use them. So yeah, so it's good that you guys like provide the lighting, but in an unobtrusive way. Now, the last thing you mentioned is, and this is specifically, like I mentioned, what you guys specialize in and what you're kind of known for is aerial footage and drone footage. And so the last thing you mentioned is that if the videographer provides drone footage or aerial footage, you need to make sure that that videographer has a license to use that drone. And this is a huge deal because potentially the couple, if the videographer doesn't have a license, the couple could actually be fined for this. So, you know, please tell us all about this and the licensing that aerial videographers need, because I think this is so, so important.
Right. So if you're using a drone commercially, do any kind of commercial work, to any kind of paid work, or even for weddings, you're required to have an FAA license. So it's not enough just to get registered, because people say, yes, my drone is registered with FAA. There's a difference between being registered with FAA and then being licensed to use that drone. Because honestly, we can't fly a drone wherever we want. So a licensed pilot will look up on a specialized map, a sectional chart, to see, hey, I can fly here. And that chart will tell us, the map will tell us, hey, we can fly here during these times, or hey, we can fly outside here, or how high we can go from here. And so it's just all the legal mumbo jumbo, but it's something that's very severe. There's something that the FAA and the government is taking very seriously now because of all the problems it's caused and all the capabilities it has. So yeah, so anything on the ground is covered by DOT, Department of Transportation. If you're off the ground, even 6 inches, it's covered by FAA. So for that reason, if it's done illegally, it's considered a federal offense.
Oh my gosh.
Because you're in federal airspace. Anything off the ground is federal airspace. So yeah, so the government wants to know, the local law authorities want to know, hey, why are you doing this illegally? And who paid you to commit a federal offense?
Wow. Oh my gosh. This was a mind blower for me because, you know, A, to have a license, and B, that you could be fined. I was just like, wow, like I never knew that. And I think couples really need to know this, because the last thing you want is to do something that you think is right, but then end up having to pay a hefty fine for that. Yeah. And that I was going to ask you, like, but you kind of answered it. If you need a license, it doesn't matter how high off the ground, like you said, even if you're like 6 inches off the ground, as long as, you know, you have a drone and you're flying it anywhere at any height, you need to have a license.
Correct.
If you're doing it and being paid to do it.
And paid, yeah, and being paid for it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a hobbyist, it's another story.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to provide these services safely and legally.
Right. Yeah.
And there are people that have tried to gotten away with it where they say they're not charging for it. They include it in with whatever they do, so it's a free service, but the government knows, and they call it an intent, commercial intent it's called. So they understand, hey, they're basically saying, hey, we know you're including it as a free service, but it's still illegal because it's related to a commercial service.
Yeah. Wow, that's such a good thing to know. And like I said, couples really need to know about this, so I'm glad that you mentioned that. Well, we are almost out of time, but I wanted to thank you so much for all those pieces of information. I mean, they're really incredible. They're really great things couples need to know. But before I let you go, I always do something that I do with all my guests, which is a fun five questions, which is sort of a get to know you, lightning round type of deal. So whenever you're ready, I have some questions for you.
Yeah.
All right. So my first question is, how did you get into this business? And Brendan, you mentioned this a little bit. You started off in the commercial world, but how did you get into the wedding industry?
Well, Lynette was into photo and she kind
of- Hobbyist.
Yeah, as a hobbyist.
Yeah.
And she encouraged me to look at video and I said no for a while, but a friend of our, you know, a friend of the family that I've known since I was a child, he moved back into the area and he had a video production company. And so we always kept in touch, but when he moved back into the area, he was doing a lot of aerial work and a lot of commercial work. So he asked if I would be interested. And so I came along on a couple jobs and I ended up really, really enjoying it. So it became a hobby, then it became a passion. And now it's just, it's my jam.
Specifically for weddings, I kind of started out, like I said, as a hobbyist, and we went to a friend's wedding, like backyard DIY wedding. I'm sure they spent like $500 on the whole thing from start to finish. And they hadn't hired a photographer. And I was like, oh, I'll just take some pictures for you guys and put it in an album. And I did, that was my gift for them. It was free. And I figured out then and there that I just absolutely loved it. I love being in the middle of the happiest day of people's lives. It was so much fun for me. And I was okay at it. I mean, I don't want to show you those pictures from that first wedding, but you know, as I started realizing it was something I really, really could see myself doing. And I started, that's when I started taking it seriously, really considering it and learning and getting experience second shooting for other wedding photographers. And it just took off from there.
And so she was shooting weddings. I was doing commercial stuff. And then she had the idea, hey, why don't you join the wedding, the wedding industry? I was like, I don't know. I don't know how the flow of the day would go. So yeah, I had to start just attending weddings just to see what, and also research other companies out there. What is the standard that's going on?
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, did you guys meet prior to doing weddings? Because you're a husband and wife team. So did you meet like on the wedding circuit, or did you guys meet prior to that?
We met in high school.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Nice. High school sweethearts.
We've been married 15 years. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. I love hearing things like that. So my next question is, what was the most fun thing that's ever happened to you while shooting a wedding?
Most fun. That's hard because, but there are
I
so
can't
many.
Really think of anything other than milkshake buffets at the Grand View. That's the most fun I've ever had. No, I don't know. What do you think?
Time. I don't know. A lot of it is just meeting cool people in the industry. You know, a couple of DJs, florists, and, you know, people that are really good at their craft. Another is just being able to have fun with the bride and groom, where you get so close to them and
you want to go to baseball games afterwards and hang out with them in the summer.
Or if you're running into each other at Starbucks or something later on, it's just like really cool just to make these little connections. And at the wedding.
Getting to ride ski lifts when you redo weddings up in the Catskills.
I get to fly drones at weddings.
Yeah. Every wedding is fun though. We're just having a blast every single time.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone is just so unique. Like, I'm sure there's like a specific memory from everyone that you could just like pull out. So, I mean, that's really cool that like, you know, and I could hear it in your voice that you just love being part of this special day, you know, in a couple's life. So,
and we do love eating cake. So,
yeah. Oh yes. Cake is always the best
food. We get to drive golf carts.
It doesn't take much to impress us, obviously.
We're just with happy people for the entire day.
Best
day of their lives. So it's just a party the entire time.
Yeah, that's awesome. So describe your perfect day.
You want to go first?
Oh, God. These are good. I don't know. We're constantly together and we are very, very spontaneous. So like, we'll just come up with something one day and be like, let's drive to the Jersey Shore and go to the beach.
Are we talking about like our personal day or like perfect work day?
Personal day.
Oh yeah. Sleeping in. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. Sure. Maybe some Nintendo Switch.
A bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel.
Yeah.
To start the day.
Go down to the beach or go to Minnewaska.
Go to a movie theater. Oh God. Remember those days when we could do that?
I know.
Oh, the good old days.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Go to get ramen.
I guess our perfect day is really surrounded by food, huh? That's,
yes.
That's a lot about us.
Food and video games.
Yeah. No, that sounds pretty perfect to me because I would probably do the same.
And then end the night, you know, around the fire pit in the back.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Nice. I love doing s'mores on the fire pit.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I need my marshmallows. My marshmallows have to be like burnt black.
Oh no. Yeah. No, I like a perfect golden marshmallow.
Oh really?
Are you a s'more arson?
I think so. I mean, I've literally set my marshmallows on fire, blew them out, and then ate them. which I never thought I would like that because I'm like, oh my gosh, you're just eating burnt sugar. But it actually, I don't know. I liked it more than I thought I would. I burnt one accidentally. That's how it started. And then I was like, well, let me just see what this tastes like. And then I ended up loving them. So yes, I'm a marshmallow arson for sure.
Marshmallow arson. I knew it.
Yeah. And so my last question, actually I have a couple more. So what is something about you people may be surprised to know?
I collect comic books.
Do you?
I got into comic books when I was really young. So I love the whole pop culture thing.
And
I like
action figures.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Action figures, they're not dolls. That's cool. Yeah, let's clarify that. They're action figures, not dolls.
Yeah, that's right. There's a very clear distinction there.
Yes. So I love going to Comic-Con, C2E, certain expos like that. But yeah, so I love the whole pop culture world in that respect.
Nice. What's your favorite comic book or what's like the most rare one that you have?
I got several. I mean, my favorite comic book character is Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of early X-Men.
X-Men number one. That's probably my favorite. Right?
Signing graded. Wow. Stan Lee. I got to meet Stan Lee and hang out with Stan Lee.
Oh my gosh.
I have a small collection of like CGC authorized signatures of Stan Lee on different rare comic books.
Wow.
So those are like my babies.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, that's awesome. And how about you, Lynette? What do you?
Oh God. I'm not that interesting. I love to cook. I don't know. Is that a good one?
Oh, I do too.
That's not very interesting at all. Jeez Louise. I got to get a hobby.
Oh no. I love to cook too. So I consider cooking my hobby.
Okay. Oh, how about this? I walked with lions. There was that one time. That was something interesting.
Oh
my
gosh.
We went to a preserve that had lions and you can walk with the lions, you know, literally like they're like 5 feet away from you as you're walking.
Wow.
I did not do it.
Hate Brendan was with me.
I made sure her life insurance was all paid up beforehand.
Yeah. It was an amazing experience. They're beautiful, beautiful animals.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really gorgeous. I love
them. And I didn't get eaten, so it was a success.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing.
That one did snap at you. That one lion did snap at you. I have it. I took a picture of it.
It was little baby, Brendan thinks.
It was like an adolescent. It wasn't a baby. It wasn't an adult. It was in the middle.
But the ones I walked with were actual adult lions.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Surreal. It was exciting.
Yeah. But that one you were petting.
It was an amazing trip in South Africa. We loved every second of it.
And that does sound amazing. Oh my gosh.
It was pretty cool.
Otherwise, I'm pretty boring. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So my last question to you is, what do weddings mean to you? And you've touched on this a little bit throughout the interview, but what do they mean to you?
Oh my goodness. So when I get reviews from couples and they say things like, the energy that you brought was just so comforting and happy. I mean, the truth is that I'm so happy when I'm working. Weddings are probably the single happiest day of people's lives. We get to be there and we get to make it permanent. We get to make that feeling permanent. They can come back and they can revisit that feeling and that emotion anytime they want. And we can make that day just a little bit more enjoyable by being there, by being professional, by being easy to work with and taking care of them and making them feel special. And then at the end, I mean, being able to produce something that will take them back is just one of the coolest things. Yeah. I love it. We love
it.
Yeah. Weddings to me is just it's fun and happiness. I mean, cause we've been married 15 years and our marriage I think is awesome. You know, I married my best friend.
Yeah.
So we have fun all the time. If we want to bring the futon mattress out to the living room, fall asleep watching movies, then we can do that. So weddings to me just means, hey, you get to have fun for the rest of your life. And so to be a part of that in this industry or professionally is just like, hey, it's that icing on the cake. I get to be a part of something that is fun and that people will enjoy for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Oh, how special. That's really awesome. And, you know, I mean, it sounds like the coolest job in the world, really, because you get to have fun every single day. You're surrounded by love and happiness. And, you know, not too many people could say that when they go to work, that they're surrounded by love and happiness and they get to have fun, you know? So that it really does sound like the coolest job in the world. So that is all the time we have for today. And I just wanted, before we go, just to thank you so, so much for being here and for your time today and for these amazing pieces of information that you shared with us today. And I'd like to know where couples can find you. So if a couple is interested in speaking to you for their wedding, where can they find you?
Well, we're on Facebook and Instagram, pioneermedia.ny on Facebook and pioneermedia_NY on Instagram. Our website is pioneerpd.com. Those are probably the three best ways to reach out.
Message Unless you just show up at the door and start knocking. Yeah.
Don't give out our address, okay?
No.
We're on YouTube, we're on Vimeo.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, no, thank you.
It's been a blast. Thank you.
So do you feel a little bit more confident now in budgeting for video and why it's so important to have? I hope so, because like I said, you know, saying it's something you'll regret isn't just a cliche term. It really does happen and is the number one regret so many couples have, including me. Now, if today's episode or any of our other episodes has been helping you, I'd love for you to leave a review and definitely spread the word. If you have friends or family getting married, share the show with them and let them know it's been helping you. As always, if you have a specific question you'd like answered on the show, send it our way. You can find us on Instagram at SBS Wedding Prep and on our sister account, Wed Connect HV. If you're a Hudson Valley bride or groom and need specific inspiration and guidance for your Hudson Valley wedding, check us out over at weddingconnectionshv.com. So until next time, happy planning.